Hallelujah. I got good news for you today. Hallelujah. When Red was speaking this morning, he... Woo! He said, I miss my pastor. You know, it always touches my heart. I hope I can say this. But immediately, the Holy Ghost said to me, he says, if your pastor was standing here today, he would say, show me your dust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was standing over here walking up to the podium, and I don't know why God likes to wait till 3 seconds before you stand up there, but this scripture started coming into my remembrance and in my heart, and I couldn't find it in my Bible. So I get my phone out, and I'm going to read this to you. I want you to receive this. Just take a moment and put yourself in a place to receive from the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is Haggai chapter 2. You don't have to turn here. It's better that you don't. Just listen. Hallelujah. In the 7th month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. If I get the names messed up, just forgive me. And in the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, this is what I want you to hear. Yet once in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter. It's okay, Lord. It's okay. The glory. Hallelujah. Actually, if you would come up, Lord. I'm sorry. Horabasatala. The glory. Yes. The glory of this latter house now, with all of my heart, I believe this is a word from the Lord. I know it's the Bible. We know it's a word from the Lord. But I believe today this is a word for us to encourage you, to strengthen you. Number one, to know. Yeah, I know our pastor isn't here. I realize he's not in this physical building today. But understand that that doesn't put us in a lower place. It doesn't put us less powerful. Actually, if you want to honor your pastor today, show him your dust. Amen. We press on to grab a hold of what God is saying, what God is calling us to, what God is saying over this place. When I say this place, you know, I don't mean just physically here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but this is our family. You are our family. Pastor Dave would say, the extended family is here. Hallelujah. So receive that today. The glory of this latter house shall be greater. And I want to even say far greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I've been coming to this church for many years, and I've seen the glory. I have. We've seen some awesome things here. Amen. I mean, if you've been to this conference very many times, you've seen some glory. Hallelujah. We've seen a lady raised from the dead right here in the conference. Glory to God. We've seen some glory. But we're entering into something we haven't seen before. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes, yes. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Glory. Glory. Let's worship just a moment longer. Lord, just lead us however the Lord has you. Jesus. Thank you. Thanks and thank you. He's so good to us. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, it's good to be here today. There's such a wonderful, wonderful presence, and the atmosphere of the conference is one of my favorite things. It's so good to see familiar faces, haven't seen in a long time, and so good to see new faces, people I've never met before. So great to have you here. So before I get started, I'll just take a moment. I'm Hans Zanstra. Hello. Been at the prayer center for a little while and really grown up here, honestly. This is almost the only church I attended as an adult, pretty close to it. Yeah, pretty much. You know, you probably know my brother. If you don't, his name's Doug. You probably know Doug. Now, a lot of people didn't even know he was my brother. I said, that's okay. Pastor Dave didn't know he was my brother either for a long time. Doug and Lisa stood up here when my son, just to give you an idea, my son Solomon was dedicated here. He's now attending Rhema. So to tell you a little idea of how long we've been here, been around. But Doug and Lisa were standing behind my wife and I, and Dave says, are these godparents? Or he had no idea. This is my brother. So anyway, he's my older brother. I won't tell you how many years I used to, but now that we're getting a little older, I decided, because people would ask all the time, who's older? I thought, well, either I look a lot older than I am, or he looks a lot younger than he is. And now that I'm getting older, I decided it's him that looks younger. So anyway, my wife, would you stand up, honey? This is Teresa. We just celebrated 25 years last month. Amen. So if you've never gotten to know Teresa, you should get to know her. She studies the Word as much as any person that I know. And I mean that. She really, really does. She's been through some things, and in her darkest times, she said in 2 weeks she read through the entire Bible. And that's all she did. About 30 days, I guess, she read through the entire Bible, something like that. I won't tell you what that darkest hour is. She can share her own testimony. Hallelujah. But anyway, it's so good to be at the conference. We missed you last year. I've missed out on a lot of the conference times because I live here, and believe it or not, I work a day job, so I'm often not available. But I'm thankful when I'm able to be here. So good to see Bronk and Jim, and to stand in front of these people who have really molded my spiritual walk with God. I thank God that I get to stand before you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I started preaching about 1995. And I remember the very first time that I had the opportunity to preach. I knew I was called to preach. I was so hungry, wanted to preach so badly. And but of course, I didn't have any, nobody's asking me to preach. I was probably, I don't know, 18 years old or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember. That was a long time ago. So, but I was very young and I'd never preached before. So who's going to ask somebody to preach that's never preached before? And, but I got involved with this lady in Tulsa that did an outreach. And she had a ministry called Broken Pieces, which is kind of weird. But anyway, she ministered, though, to people, broken people. That was her ministry. And we would go out to some of the apartments, like the, I'll say the projects. That's the only way I know how to describe them. But the lower income apartments, we give out bread, we do those types of things. And we had an outdoor crusade. And she said, Hans, I want you to preach tonight. And I remember I had one revelation, and that was about the love of God. And I preached from Ephesians chapter 3 and talked about how it's so important for us to know His love, and I preached for 5 minutes. I just got up there, but that's really all she really gave me anyway. But I remember that so vividly, and it's so dear to my heart. The thing was, my voice was scratchy. I had a hoarse voice. My throat was hurting, and I'm sucking lemons all day long. I'm like, no, I'm preaching. I'm going to preach tonight. And I remember a few years back. It's been several years ago at the conference, Pastor Dave. He preached from Ephesians chapter 3. And I just remember on the inside, it just did something to me. Like, this is my Father. You know, it changed something. It was when I first began to come to the conference. And the prayer center has meant so much in my life. And really, that relationship with not just Pastor Dave, but just with this church. I just want you to know, so dear to my life, to my wife, to our family, our children. So I'm going to get started here. I have a couple instructions. I don't preach the same way as I used to preach. Very, very recently, the Lord has been doing something different with me. Normally, I'll prepare a message, ask God to help me, and He would help me, and I'd deliver the message. But lately, He's not letting me do it that way anymore. Thank God. I do have some notes today. He let me bring my notes with me. But recently, He just say, I just want you to empty yourself. I just want you to empty yourself. But there's a couple things that He put on my heart, and I'm going to share, and we'll see where we go from there. The first one, I was really struggling with this because I know that Gary, I think, has read this twice, I think, since the conference started. But there's a prophecy that I received from the Lord just before the conference started. We were in prayer, and I feel like I need to share that this morning. We'll see where we go with this. But this is the Lord's present day speaking. If you want to know where you find that, on daveroberson.org, the reference number is PT210922. And it's titled, Let Me Come and Move and Flow. So this is a time, says the Lord, that I desire my gifts to be in operation, for there will be many present. There will be many gifts that can flow and move and change things for people. It is a time that's very important that all the cracks be sealed. All of the things that the enemy has been able to use in times past be broken. For there have been many attacks in the past, in many places where the enemy has been able to step in and has in some portion neutralized what I'm doing in this place. It is my desire that the enemy is stopped, that the cracks are sealed, that I'm able to flow and bring a healing that is necessary for my body. For the people who are present, it is necessary that they receive a healing. And the enemy is aware of the happenings in the earth today. It is his intent to stop the flow of healing to my people. It is his intent to distract and to keep them away and to steal what is given to them. So this is a time to be aware, to pray, to seal up anything in your life as an individual that would allow the enemy in, and to come together as a corporate body to stand against the things of the enemy, to seal the cracks of division, of backbiting, to seal the cracks of fleshly desires, and to lay down all expectations and allow me to bring my presence and my peace into this house. This is a time for you, for this body to stand as one and to exercise the authority and the training that you've been given to be able to hold back the powers of darkness so that those who come would receive from me the healing, the grace, and that I could pour in the oil and the wine and touch wounds that have not yet been healed. Some very old, some rather new. This is a time that I desire to heal and to restore. There have been relationships that have been broken and destroyed, it would appear. But it is my desire to restore and strengthen. For there are connections that must be made in order for me to complete all that I desire to do. So do not be discouraged by the people who come or the people who don't. But know that I'm doing a work and I'm connecting a body and bringing healing that will prepare and make way for the move of my spirit that I desire to bring. This is a time to empty yourselves of all expectations. Allow me to have it without limitation, without hesitation. Let me come and move and flow and enjoy what I bring. Enjoy what I bring, says the Lord. So, I want to do something just for a moment. The beginning of this prophecy talks about how the enemy has come in times past and talks about the cracks that we might have in our lives and sealing those things up. And I believe Gary led us in a prayer Sunday night that handled a lot of that. But right now, I just want you, this is a believer's meeting. If you're offended by praying in tongues, then maybe you'll get filled today. But I'm just going to ask you, if you don't, and if you don't pray in tongues, that's all right. Well, you can. But I want you to take a moment and just join me. I want you to pray in the Spirit. And I want to take authority over the enemy. I want to take authority over anything that the devil would try to do to bring division and to stop the healing flow that God is bringing. Because I sense this morning there's a healing that God wants to do, a healing anointing that he wants to bring and touch many, many people. So, Father, we just thank you today. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for that authority that you've given us. And Lord, I exercise the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And right now, I break the power of the enemy. I take authority over all works of darkness, any division. In the name of Jesus, any spirit that would try to cause division, any demonic force that would try to distract or interfere or interrupt in any way, we break your power. We say you will not operate in this service or in any service during this time. And Lord, we thank you We thank you that it's your desire to heal. And Lord, we call upon that healing anointing, that healing presence. Have your way, Lord, without limitation, without hesitation, Lord. Let us receive from you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you in Jesus' name. All right. Glory, glory, glory. One other thing I got to share before. This is the pre-message message. So, hallelujah. This is another word that came in August. And I'm just going to read a portion of it. And it's titled, "There Has to Be a Healing and a Restoration." I made a deal with the Lord. I said, if you're not going to let me prepare, not, this might sound arrogant. It's not. I said, "Lord, if you're not going to allow me to prepare, then I'm not going to say anything except what you have for me to say." And so either this is going to be a really short service or you're going to say something. And when I say that, I mean, you know, I'm going to follow his leading. It doesn't have to all be prophecy or whatever. We let him do what he wants. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just saying that because I know sometimes I'll hesitate, I'll stop. It's just because I'm making sure this is the direction he's taking us. There has to be a healing and a restoration. He wants to heal us. The Lord spoke this through me about a month ago. When he did, sometimes he lets me just speak what I'm hearing from my heart, not necessarily word for word like a prophetic word, and that's kind of how this went. But I'm hesitating right now because I just want to share. I just sense the Lord saying he's so pleased that you've come today. So pleased. Hallelujah. Glory. So, he's so pleased. I just sense the presence of the Lord wanting to bring a peace. If you've been troubled, if there's been difficulty, there's been harassment and roadblocks on your way here, just know that he's so pleased. And right now, release that. Just let go of those things. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you. He wants you to be free to receive all that he has for you. Hallelujah. Minister your peace, Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to heal us. We've endured a long time. There's been a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache. And in order to fight the war, many times we had to ignore those two things. We had to press in by his Spirit and push past those things. But he said the scars and the hurt, it never really went away. We just pushed past it. He's saying he wants to heal those hurts. He's bringing something that is going to be restoration. He's beginning to heal some hurts of the past. And we'll go through a season, maybe seasons, of healing and restoration. Because he's bringing forth an army. Hallelujah. And we will see miracles outside of this place. But to see the miracles to those that are outside, there has to be a healing and a restoration inside. And he wants as much for us to walk in the fullness of God as He wants to flow that fullness through us. And sometimes we can be so consumed for desires for seeing revival and wanting revival and seeing the miracles flow through us that we forget to receive it for ourselves. We don't realize. We look past all the hurts, all the inabilities, all the problems that we have, and we say, well, it's worth it for the gospel. But God says you don't have to live with it. You don't have to carry the pain. You don't have to carry the hurt. You don't have to carry the inabilities any longer. Because I love you as much as I love the people I'm trying to reach through you. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you. Glory to God. He wants to heal us. He wants to take away the hurt, the pain. Sometimes when you spend many years and even decades fighting the good fight of faith, warring against the enemy, and you take blow after blow after blow, you don't want someone to see you as weak, maybe. Maybe you don't want the enemy to see you as weak. So we keep standing, keep getting back up. We keep confessing the word. We keep, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And you can. But see, God doesn't want you to ignore the hurt, the pain, the difficulty. He wants to destroy it. He wants to get rid of it. I'm not talking about inner healing, going back and talking about all the terrible things that happened to you and all that. I'm talking about getting rid of it once and for all. Because see, when we don't get rid of it, we just keep pushing it down and we keep saying, I'm okay, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a great confession and don't stop saying it. But when that has not been dealt with, the enemy will wait for the opportune time to bring that up. And when Jesus said the enemy has come and he's found no place in me, I'm just telling you that would be a place that he could find in you. And God wants to destroy that. Not just, you know, mull over it, not just counsel you about it, but he wants it gone. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right, so there's one other thing. I think I must be the favorite. See, Gary talks about how on his way to church, he might get a phone call from Tim, and you got the service. But see, Tim called me a week ahead of time. See, now, he did say this is a rare, rare thing, a rare occasion. But see, I already know I'm the favorite. You can ask my brother. I'm the favorite. And so I grew up the favorite. I figure I might as well just keep being the favorite. If I can be my mom's favorite, I'll be God's favorite too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I mentioned to you, oh, maraseke didiasta. One other thing. That same time that prophecy came forth about healing, something the Lord said during that service, he said, you ought to be in church. Said he's bringing a corporate anointing, a resident anointing. So many times we think that the service is dependent upon the pastor, the preacher, the person behind the pulpit, but it's just as much dependent on you as it is on me. So if I bomb, it's your fault. But no, it's just we're co-equal in this, right? We're here to receive from the Lord. All right. But anyway, the reason I stopped right there is the Lord reminded me of something. I work a day job, and I work a lot of hours, and I have different schedules that I can choose and so forth. But somehow, I got on this schedule where I was working on Sundays. And I switched with someone so that I wouldn't have to work on Sundays, which was great. And then I came and I ministered one Sunday. And that was one of the words that he said. He says, you should be in church. And you know, that's the last time that I was in church, was that Sunday. I mention that to say the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. Because see, what happened is the next week, my schedule somehow reverted back to where I had to work on Sunday again. And I finished it off, and I'm not, and hey, praise God, this Sunday, I'm off. From now on, I'm not working on Sunday. I'm not saying it's a right or wrong. I'm not going to get into all of that. I know when I grew up, my dad would never work on Sunday. He wouldn't have it. He'd probably be yelling at me if he knew I was working on Sunday. But that's okay. He's hallelujah. So when Tim contacted me, when I knew I was going to be preaching, how many of you here the Saturday before the conference started? Was anybody in Tulsa that day? A few of us. Some of us live here. We hadn't had rain in about a month, I think. And the job that I do, I work outside a lot. I climb telephone poles. I install internet. And I was at a person's house, and it was starting to rain a little bit, but I'm pretty tough. I thought, I don't need my rain suit. I'll be okay. I'm not going to melt. And it was just raining lightly, and it started to get a little bit heavier. So I thought, well, I'll put my jacket on. I'll put my rain jacket on, and I get my ladder, put it up on the pole, and I climb all the way up to the very top of the pole. And the wind picked up just a little bit. And I thought, oh, boy. Better strap myself in. And all of a sudden, it was like the clouds just opened up and just poured down rain. And it didn't matter if I had a rain suit on or not. It wouldn't have made any difference. I got 100% waterproof boots, and water was running down into my boots. And I'm just soaking wet, drenched from head to toe. Had a hard hat on, so maybe my hair was dry. But I was soaking wet. And I start walking back to my vehicle, and the Lord speaks to me. I'm standing in the rain. I mean, water is above the curb, and I can't see down the street. I'm just trying to put my stuff away, minding my own business. And I heard this scripture. Well, not even a whole scripture, just this phrase. The washing of water by the word. And he said, that sounds nice, right? Sounds like you're giving somebody a bath, maybe. You're getting cleaned off. But see, this was not a nice little bath. This was an outpouring of water. And I believe what God wants to do is what he wants us to do is to get washed with the water, but with water by the word in such a way that it doesn't matter what you do, you can't get away from it. I mean, I was drenched to my skin. It didn't matter how many layers of clothes I had on. I was going to be wet that day. And God wants to wash us. It's not just taking a little bath and being a sponge bath with something nice, but He wants to pour out a cleansing that takes away anything that is us, where no matter what part of you cannot escape it, no matter how much you try to hide from it, no matter how much you try to cover up, it seeps down in there and becomes a part of you. I couldn't get away from the water no matter what I did. Well, I did go home and change my clothes. But if I didn't do that, I'd walk around the rest of the day with that water. It's going to be a part of me, whether I like it or not. And see, something that's been in my spirit, I'm saying it this way because I don't want to say that God told me this. I'll just say that it was in my heart to talk about growing up spiritually. And this is before I heard that I knew I was going to speak here. It was just something God had been dealing with me about. And then when it's the conference, I said, God, Jim's going to be there. Bronx's going to be there. So how can I talk to them about growing up? The people, these are the people that helped me grow up. And not just the speakers, but I mean all of you. The people, they were in my life. And God has such a sense of humor. He says, well, I told Dave to talk about being born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's more basic can you get than that? But let's take a look at this scripture. That's the introduction is over. We'll turn to Ephesians. Glory, glory, glory. Ephesians chapter 6. So when I say I prepare my messages differently, that's really how the Lord deals with me. I put together some things and all of that, but I just kept hearing this phrase over and over and over and over. Washing of water by the Word. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. There you go. Thank you, Gary. Praise the Lord. I was like, that's not the right place in my Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, I put a 6 there. It should have been a 5. Begin 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, that's quite a bath if you're going to be without blemish. Every spot, even wrinkle. But how do you get rid of wrinkles? Anyway, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, we usually read this passage talking about husbands and wives and trying to teach about marriage and how you should behave and treat your wife and all those things. But this verse really just jumped out at me as I was reading this. And that's 32. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So see, Paul is going back and forth through these verses between the marriage and Christ, the church and Christ and a man and a woman. And he goes back and forth in it. And it sounds like he's talking about marriage. And in essence, he is, because he ends by saying, nevertheless, let every one of you love his wife. But really, he's talking about the mystery of Christ and the church. In Colossians, he says, of course, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when he talks about the washing of water, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, he's not talking about a man and his wife. He's talking about Christ and the church. That the Word of God becomes such a part of us, becomes so ingrained in us Alan and Gary have been saying, talking about this transformation. Earlier in this book, he talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. How has your mind become renewed? It's renewed to the Word of God. Yes, we have to have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. But He's going to be teaching us the Word. The Word has to be first place in our life. And you know, we've been talking about the four legs to the table, or the pillars, or the four legs to the chair, or however you want to call it, the prayer, fasting, worship, and one other one, and the Word. Amen? Assimilation of the Word. Where it's not just studying the Word, not just letting the Word, not just understanding the Word, but to where the Word actually washes over you. And changes the very, if I can say it this way, the molecules of your thinking to where your thoughts are no longer the same as they were. So in some substances, when it gets wet, you can't separate the water from the substance. Right? There are some things that are malleable in water, and it becomes a new substance, and a new molecules are formed and that type of thing. I'm not a scientist. I'm just talking because I know a little bit. But that's kind of the picture that the Lord was giving me when He talks about washing you with the water, the Word, to where the Word becomes you and you become the Word. And it's no longer just learning and hearing and understanding, but it's actually becomes a part of you. Where those things of the past, whether it be hurts or it be wrong thinking, it be religion, it be whatever, maybe good things that you thought were right. And maybe it's not that they were wrong, but it's not what the Word says. And it's not what God is saying for you at the moment. And the word that's used here is the word rhema. The spoken word. God wants to speak to you. And Jesus said, I live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God wants to speak a word into your life. There's some people that came here today and you're hoping to get a word. I already gave you a word. Show me your dust. Hallelujah. Press in. Do everything God's called you to do. Grow up into Him. Allow the Word of God to become such a part of you that it's not just knowledge. We don't try to believe it any longer, but we know it as truth. You know, there's a difference. You're in faith for a while. And it's good to be in faith. We're in faith for revival. But you know, if you walked in here today and people were standing up out of wheelchairs and running around this building and all those things, we're no longer believing for revival. We're standing in it, right? And that's really where we are anyway. But when you're actually seeing it, it changes something. You go from faith to just certainty, right? Becomes understanding, becomes a part of you. It's kind of like being born again. When you're first saved, you need a little help, a little reminder that you're born of God. But after a while, I mean, it's just a part of who you are. When you're saved, there's nobody going to take that away from you. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's, you know, no one can convince me anything different from that. I'm not in faith that the Holy Spirit filled me. I know He filled me. I'm not in faith that I could speak with tongues. You want to hear me? I know what God has done. And this is what He wants us to have, that in every part of the Word, where it becomes a part of us that we're not just believing and looking at it from a distance and saying, wasn't that wonderful when Peter's shadow passed by those people and they got healed? But where we live in that place where we realize that that's what God does. Where we realize that the Word is alive. And it's a part of us. Not only the written word, but the things that He's spoken to us. Because many times God will speak a word to you and you go, I can't do that. Well, you said what? Lord, you know, but He wants to wash that away. Where when He can speak, He can trust you. Well, when He speaks, He can trust you and know that you're going to do what He said. So we've got to grow up. But what are we growing up into? We've grown up into the best person that we can be, our best life now. We're trying to be a better person than we once were. Let's see. Let's back up a couple chapters and look at Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is only some. And really, this is probably a small portion of the body. So I know when I was young, and especially coming to a church like this, you have the idea that the only value you have is if you can, the only ministry there is through these types of ministry gifts, but there's much more. So he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're growing up into him. Now, it doesn't mean we're growing up to be Jesus. Not really. I mean, you could almost say that, but we're growing up to live in him. We're growing up to live and to find out and to know what he wants to do in us. You know, I've heard Gary speak many, many times, but for Sunday night, there were two things he said. I'm sure he said before, but I just got them, so that was good. But he said, you know, the first step, I believe, in being a disciple or in doing the things that Jesus did, hopefully I don't butcher it too bad, is to know that he's not the one doing it. It's to know that you're not the one doing it. So we're not trying to grow up so that we can do better and we can produce more and be a better disciple, but it's to where we're living in him and he's able to flow through us and do his work, and we are his and he's ours. So that we're no longer walking, yet not I, but Christ in me. That I might decrease, he may increase. Less of me and more of him. So it's almost like we're growing up backwards, because we're trying to, for many of us, if you grew up in the world, you're going to have to be untaught many of the things that we've learned, because the world system doesn't work the way God's system works. But so what we're growing up to is we're growing up into Christ. To the stature, the fullness of Christ, then he can have full reign, full control. That whatever I do through Jesus Christ. So as we're growing up and we're learning to grow up, one thing that I love about the prayer center, Pastor Dave never told me what I was supposed to do. He didn't tell me what God had called me to do. He didn't try to tell me what I needed to do. He didn't put any kind of shackles on me. He didn't do any of that. He said, epoxy your britches to the chair and pray. So not only as we're growing up, but as we're growing up others, we have to be careful not to grow them our way, man's way. We're not, you know, here's the thing about Dave Roberson. I don't think you could really copy what he does, because everything that he did, in my opinion, and I'm not trying to praise Dave Roberson, but he followed the Spirit of God. And if you ask him, where did he learn how to do that? He would have no other answer but to say, the Holy Spirit. He didn't have someone to teach him and disciple him. He received it from the Holy Spirit. And so he had a unique perspective and really put ingrained that in me anyway. What I learned from that is that I've got to receive from the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to grow, it has to come from him. Man can only take you so far. And we need the men. We need those gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And if you are an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist, you still need those people in your life. Because they're there for a purpose, to help us grow and to grow us up into the fullness of Christ. So we can't be distracted by the man of God and think that we want to be like him. And as the man of God, we can't be trying to lord that over anyone else, because all of us are growing together into the fullness of Christ. And while we receive from the ministry gifts, I received a lot from Pastor Dave. Thank God for Pastor Dave. We still receive from Pastor Dave. As a matter of fact, one other thing I got to tell you. If you haven't ever heard this, you need to look at the website. Find this series called How to Meditate the Word of God. It's the number is CD211. It's a two-part series. There's some other great ones that I think are wonderful, but this is what the Lord brought to my remembrance today, and this is one that gives some very basic things on how to meditate God's Word. And if we're going to allow the Word to be a part of our life and to walk in it and to really, really have our being saturated by the Word and walk in it, we're going to need to meditate. We're going to need to assimilate, allow it to have its place in your life. Hallelujah. And the thing is, we have to receive that for ourselves. It's great. It's important to sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Please don't misunderstand me. It's important to, get on. We have so many resources available. And I know, at this church, many times we'll sit around on a Wednesday and many people are listening to what Pastor Dave has on the website or what Gary has or what Bronk or Jim or whoever has put up there. And it's good. But at some point, we have to receive the revelation of who Jesus is for ourselves. And that brings me to our next Scripture in Matthew chapter 16. The Word of God has to be a part of your life. And I don't mean that you need to take time to read it. I mean it needs to be in you. So that when you're walking around and things happen and, the enemy brings difficulties your way because he's going to, that you have enough of the Word to, that's what comes out of you. Amen? It's not just frustration, but it's the truth of God's Word. Because see, we're going to face difficult times, and if we don't have the Word of God in our hearts and in our life, and it doesn't flow from us, then when that difficulty comes, whatever's in you is going to come out. Whatever you've put in your life, whatever's been there, it comes out. And there's been many times in my life when I've been disappointed at what came out. There's been many times when I had to realize that was not the Word of God. And I've got to get back and I've got to crucify those things. And yes, it's by the Spirit we put to death, we mortify the deeds of the body. But how do we know that? We know it because it's in the Word. So it has to start with the Word being a part of our life. Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus is the living Word. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important that the Word be a part of us. We're growing up into Him. His Word has to be in us and we in Him. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So in plain English, who do you say, who do people say, what are people saying about me? Who do they say that I am? And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah's, and one or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? See, Jesus has a way of making it very personal. He starts out, okay, what's everybody saying about me now? He's going to turn to these whom he loves, his disciples. He says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, the disciple that I love, the one that always seems to have something to say, it's fun to listen to, and he's kind of like the guy that if you want to test what's going to happen, you say, hey, Peter, go ask Jesus. You know, he's that friend that you have that you're not quite sure, you're afraid to ask the question because you know the answer may not be what you want, so you're like, hey, Peter, we can get Peter to ask him. So, because he asks all of them. He said, who do you say that I am? Like, hey, Peter, what do you think? And Simon Peter answered and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter, you didn't get this from the people around you. You didn't learn it. You didn't read it in a book. Nobody told you this. This came from God himself. A revelation. A word, if you will. That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, it's like he's giving him a really good attaboy. You did it, Peter. You received from God himself. I'm sure Peter was happy. And I say, we'll read on. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this awesome revelation Peter got, he received this from heaven. He received it from God. He had a word in his heart that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was a part of who Peter was. He knew this is who you are, Jesus. And Jesus tells him he got that from heaven. And he goes on to say that on this great revelation, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And here's the thing. He wasn't building the church on Peter. He was building the church upon a revelation. See, God wants to build a ministry in your life, but he's going to build it on the revelation that you receive from the Word of God of who you are and what God wants to do in you. Who is Jesus in you? How have you grown up into him? Because when we're there and that revelation is a part of us and we're a part of it, then the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And it bothered me for a while, like what's so offensive about a gate? How is a gate going to prevail? But see, in Oklahoma, we have a lot of places, a lot of rural areas where we have cattle gates. And so you might drive down the road and there'll be a big pasture and there'll be just a gate there that's, you know, got bars and it. And I remember the Lord showed me one day. He said, now what's that gate there for? I was there to keep things in or keep things out. And see, the gates of hell, the offensive weapon, you could say, of the gate is to keep things out. So the enemy all the time, if you have a revelation of what God has said to you, he throws up these gates and says, nope, no, you can't go any further than this. That's not it. Did God really say? Is that really what he said about you? Are you sure? And see, if that revelation isn't a part of your life, then that word that you've been given can be stopped by this gate. It happens all the time. We see it in the church everywhere. Well, you know, I mean, there you can get born again, but being filled with the Holy Ghost, now that's blocked off. There's a gate there. But see, when you have a revelation, you can kick down the gate and you can go as far into God as you want to go. You can take that revelation as far as He will allow you to have it. He will bring you into more of Him than you could possibly ever have in this whole lifetime. We can't exhaust eternity and know all that God has for us. And so when that revelation is real and is a part of you and it's inside of you and you're walking in that, then those gates cannot prevail against you. When it's a real part of you and you're not just walking in faith and hoping that it will happen, but you know this is the call that God's put on your life. You know this is what He has you to do. It doesn't matter what gate the enemy puts in the way. It cannot prevail against you. That revelation, the Word of God in you. Hallelujah. But if we skip down just a few verses, we'll just go to 21. He said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, Peter takes him aside. He didn't do this in front of everybody. Now, even Peter's a little afraid of what's going to happen with this one. But he's like, I think you need a little counsel, Jesus. Let me take you aside. Right? And Peter took him. It's hard for me to even read these words. It's crazy. That began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, wait a minute. Didn't he just tell him that he got this revelation from God Almighty? Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter. But God, our Father who is in heaven. But he said, get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. And thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what happened to Peter? He had a revelation. He knew this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, many times we get a revelation. God speaks something into our heart. He gives us a word and we believe it. We know that it's from God. But then something happens that doesn't line up with what we saw as that revelation. See, it's not enough just to understand what the Word says. It's not enough just to receive even a revelation from the Lord, but it has to become a part of you. You have to make room in your heart and let it have that place that you have. When I say you, your flesh, your desires, your understanding, the things that you want to come to pass, you have to allow the Word to create a new picture of what it means. Let the Word describe. Let God, the Holy Spirit, describe to you what it is, what it looks like, and how it's going to be. One of the things that He said to us about this conference is to let go of all expectations. Lay down your expectations. There's been many times in my life where expectations have gotten in my way. And I believe that's what happened to Peter. He had an expectation of what it meant that this is the Son of God. Who's going to touch you? Who's going to deal with you? You're going to lead us out of this place. We're going to have victory. And you're telling me that you're going to be killed? See, he didn't understand. And he had to be humbled. And that's the thing. The Word of God humbles us. If we receive it with meekness, We have to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that's able to save our souls, because our souls are lost. I'm telling you that Peter's soul had an idea of what he wanted to happen, but it needed to be changed so that he could walk without control, without having the control over the revelation that he got. Many years ago, I'm not going to go real long, but I'm trying to, there's so many things I could share along these lines, and I want to get the right thing to you. I want to make sure that the Holy Spirit is able to minister to you in a way that you're able to take something from this service today and it become a part of your life and bring you beyond some of the gates the enemy's put in your life. Bring you past some of the things the enemy's tried to do. Remember the word, he said, that the devil has tried to neutralize and in some portion succeeded to neutralize what God has wanted to do in this place. I believe he wouldn't give us that word if he didn't expect us to walk past that. If he wouldn't empower us to where all that he wants to accomplish this week in your life is going to be accomplished. We don't have to be neutralized any longer. The devil was neutralizing this revelation in Peter's life, or trying to. Thank God Jesus was there so he could say, Satan, get behind me. And you know, we have that. Jesus is in you. So when those things come, when that gate comes up, we have the authority to say, get behind me. You're not going to stop the revelation that God has put in my heart. You're not going to stop the word of God that's a part of who I am. It's not just something I know. It's who I am. I walk in the word of God. I walk in the truth of what he has said. I am who he says I am. And I can do what he says I can do. Whether it be the written word or the spoken word, what God has spoken into my life. Now, I will say this, if he's spoken something to you, you ought to be able to find it in the written word. If you can't, you might want to get some help. Make sure. I'm being honest with you. If there's something you believe God said to you and you can't find it in the word, you ought to find somebody that can help you. Because either it's there or it's not. And if it's not, then maybe you need to rethink what you're hearing. And it's okay. God's not nervous. You can ask him again, is that really what you meant? And he doesn't get upset about it. Hallelujah. See, the Lord put a revelation. I use the word revelation. I'll just say it this way. God spoke to me years ago. Long time ago I don't want to make myself that old. But when I was young, he spoke to me. And he put in my heart a desire for Africa. Hallelujah. I didn't know anything. I really knew very, very little, but I knew God. And I knew that he'd spoke to me. So I did what I believed was what I was supposed to do. I was not married at the time. I think I was just finishing up school. Maybe I was in school. I went to Spartan School of Aeronautics here in Tulsa. And I was working a job at a restaurant just to have money to go to school and whatnot. Living in a little all bills paid apartment, and you know how college kids are. Broke. So I decided, and I say it this way because I thought I was hearing the Lord, but so I was going to follow God, and I quit my job. And God's going to bring me an airplane ticket. He's going to bring people into my life that are going to help me get over there, and I'm going to meet somebody along the way, and it's all, you know, he's going to set all this up. At that time, I don't know that I'd even preached my 5-minute message yet, but I was sure that this is what God had for me. And I did. I quit my job, and I sat in my apartment, and I waited, and I prayed, and I was a part of a prayer group that Doug had known there at Rhema. There was some students that would get together and pray, and we would meet, I don't know, every week, every other week, something like that, in different people's apartments, and we'd pray together. And so I wasn't completely ignorant. I had a little bit of support and that type of thing. And the thing about that is we all knew that God has spoke to me. Called me to Africa. There was a real witness to it. Not, so it's got to be God. So let's do this. You know, I'm ready to go. But you know, I waited for as long as I could wait, and nobody came with a plane ticket or any money. And started fasting because I didn't have any food left. There's maybe some juice in the refrigerator, so I do a juice fast and then a water fast, and then I decided I probably need to go back to work. But you know, God is so gracious. He's so kind. He's so gentle, and I didn't understand. I was actually hurt. I thought, God, I thought you called me to Africa. You know, here I am. I'm still in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was almost like, well, that was fun. You know, I guess I missed it. But yet I knew in my heart there was a yearning, a longing, a desire that I couldn't get rid of, but I didn't understand it and I didn't know what to do with it. And see, that wasn't yet a revelation. It was just a hope. It was just a seed, really. I just knew that there was something there, but I didn't know how to describe it or even know what it was. I couldn't hardly even articulate what God had said to me, because what I thought He said wasn't what it looked like. So I figured it can't be that. But something happened when I was about 30 years old. I lived in a house where I always try to have a place in my house that's my prayer closet, whatever that might be. And when you have kids, it changes. I have a room, and I thought, well, I got to give that to Jonathan because he needs a place. Or I gotta, you know, and so I usually end up in the garage. And so that's where I was. I was in the garage, and it's super hot. It's Oklahoma. It's 100 degrees outside. So I figured out a way to put a little air conditioner in there and everything. And I'm out there praying, and I had kind of a vision, just a picture. And I saw myself standing before this man, and he had very little clothes on, no shirt. And I knew that I was in Africa. And I knew I was just sharing the simple gospel with this man. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, I've given you the continent of Africa. Now, I don't know how to describe the difference, but there was a difference when He spoke that and from what He said years before. But see, I had spent many years praying and praying in other tongues and praying out the mysteries of God to where it could be answered. And when it was answered in the form of a revelation. And I knew that God had spoken to me in such a way it shook me to my core that I did not even repeat what the Lord had said to me, to my wife, to anyone, until finally I gathered up the courage. I believe I spoke with Tim about it, and it began to change and form my life. And so when the enemy then would come and say, you don't have the money, you don't have the time, you have a family, you know, you don't know anybody over there, all of those things, I was able to, even though it was difficult, and yes, I was stopped many times, I had that revelation. And I would walk and say, no, I know what God has said to me. I know what the Word of God says. I know the revelation that He's given me, that He's given me the continent of Africa. I may not know exactly what it means, but I know that's what He said. And so that when things don't look so well, and it doesn't seem like it could ever happen for you, whatever it is God has spoken into your heart, realize that that revelation is true no matter what the world says around you. What Peter had to do, and we see that he's done it because we watch his life later on, is he had to deny himself. All the things, the pictures, the ideas, the thoughts of what it meant to him and to his flesh for Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. All of that had to be put down so that he could walk in the fullness of the revelation that was coming from the Father, not from his own flesh. Hallelujah. See, I have to put those things down, and you have to put those things down on a daily basis. We have to do that. We have to walk in what God has told us, and it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier and a little bit easier every time we do it. But if you stop and you give any room to the flesh, you give any room to the enemy, you can easily fall into the place where Peter was and say, you know, you find yourself rebuking God. You know, Lord, this can't be, you know. How can a man that knows that this is the Christ turn around and rebuke him? It seems so silly and impossible, but yet that is the way of the flesh. That is the way of the natural man. If we're the untransformed man, thinks the way he wants to think. And as long as we're willing to have our own thoughts and our own ideas and have our own way, and have control of how it happens, then we're not going to see that the power of the Word of God manifests in our life. The way that we really see the power of it is that we relinquish our control over it. We say, whatever it is, Lord, that you've said, I'm going to do it. Or I may not understand what's happening. I don't know why this happened, Lord, but it doesn't change the fact. Like Peter, the better answer was, you know, I don't see how is it that I don't understand how you could die, be put to death, Jesus, but you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And see, that's the revelation we've got to have that is so strong. See, we have an advantage. We've been born again. We have a new nature in the inside of us. See, once Peter got to that place where he had a new nature in him and he'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, that wasn't a problem for him anymore. He's being transformed. The Word of God had a place in his heart, in his life, to where he fulfilled his ministry to the point of being a martyr, to the point of death. God wants us to have that revelation in our life where the Word of God is not just something we talk about, something we hear from the teacher and the evangelist, the pastor. It's somehow become a part of our DNA, changes this lack of better word here, the spiritual molecules in our life to where the Word of God is alive in us. We walk like Jesus walked. The Bible says he's the living Word. So somehow the Word was alive in him. And in the same way, it's alive in us. So I'll encourage you, get that series, I'll say it again, How to Meditate the Word of God. If you haven't ever listened to the Dave's teaching on meditation, that's where I would start. How to Meditate the Word of God. There's great series there. Meditation, delivery, imagery, all those things. But this is a good start. It'll help you get the Word of God in you. I'm not going to teach those things. I'm just going to tell you the results are that we walk as he walked. Where we grow up into him. Where we're transformed by the Word of God, washed by the water, washing of the water by the Word. Hallelujah.